Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Well, we made it to the end of another week. And this morning, as I sat here looking over this week's sheet, I realized that the only positive thing that I even talked about this week was the fact that my husband, Big Spike, has been given a clean bill of health after a very long journey. So when I started reading everything again, I realized that it would be a good idea if we could take something positive about everything that we learned about this week. And I believe that there's always a way to do that, because every bit of knowledge that we receive, however we receive it, is beneficial to us. So I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about what we can take from all of this news about Ebola and our drawbacks with our people that we watch that entertain us every day, our celebrities, and some of the other things that we talked about. I'm going to bring in Shell so we can try to pick some good points out of this week in review. Good morning, Shell.
Good morning, Rainey. How are you, hon?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
That's good. I sat here looking at everything today, and then I turned on the news this morning, and there's more. I mean, Ebola is everywhere. It's on every channel. They keep showing the little microscopic bacteria on the screen and talking about, you know, what they're doing now and what they should have done before. And it isn't very nice. I think we prefer to think, at least I do, I like to think that people who put themselves in charge are in charge. I like to believe that when somebody says they can do something and that we are, we're going to let them do what they know how to do, without everybody passing judgment on them and everything. I mean, that's perfectly what we want, right? I mean, we want to think that all these doctors that have been to all these medical schools and all these scientists and all the billions of dollars that have been spent just in my lifetime to protect us from things like this Ebola, which has been around for 30-some years, and now all of a sudden we're in trouble. And there are some people on television who are really kind of scary to listen to. I watched one man this morning that said, we're in trouble. We're all, you know, there's the possibility of all of us getting this. Now we find out that somebody went on a cruise ship after being in the vicinity or somewhere around an Ebola patient. I mean, what the hell, Shell? Oh, that should be, we should make a T-shirt that says that, Shelly.
What the hell, Shell? yeah, very catchy.
What the hell, Shell, and what do you mean, Reen? We can do them both.
I like that. I like it. Definitely T-shirt worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know. And then on the news last night, they were showing, they were escorting a potential Ebola, you know, a person that had been exposed to Ebola, and you see all these people in hazmat suits, and then there's a guy in regular clothes and a clipboard running around talking to all of them. What's he even doing there, and why were the guys in the hazmat suits not telling them to get lost or go put a hazmat suit on?
I know, that was smeared all over the news last night and this morning. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to me that they set up protocols and people don't adhere to them. And, you know, it's one thing if you don't care about your own personal safety, But when you're talking about something that's contagious and you don't take the protocols because you don't think you can get it, that's irresponsible because you can be a carrier. There's such a thing as like typhoid Marys. There are people that can carry viruses and bacteria that for whatever reason, and this is why our immune system is so important, there are people who have incredibly high immune systems, but they can carry the virus for a while. They don't respond to it, and then they can pass it along to somebody with a weaker immune system. So just because you don't think you can get something, it's irresponsible to put yourself in harm's way and not take precautions, like being around something as virulent as Ebola and not wearing a hazmat suit. I mean, that guy running around, it was just shocking to see that. And you see all these people in hazmat suits. I can't believe he wasn't afraid for himself. Would they run out? They didn't have an extra hazmat suit? Like, how did that even happen?
Well, those people are dangerous people. They're just dangerous because they're not, you know, they're not using their own good sense.
Right.
It's possible that they don't have any good sense, but even if they do, they're not using it because they think that they're doing something for the greater good. They are people who are habitual. What's a good word? They want to be a hero, and the trouble with wanting to be a hero all the time, I know because I suffer from this affliction a little bit myself. I have many times put myself in harm's way because I thought I was supposed to. And I can almost put myself in the mind of somebody who thinks that if they get up close and they see what's going on, then they're gonna have some answers. And that's all well and good, but when we're talking about infection and viruses and bacteria and little things that you can't see with your own eyes, you can't do anything about something that you can't see with your own eyes. You have to imagine that the people that are immersed in it, even though, like I said in the beginning of this conversation, we want to trust them. We want to believe that they are thinking with our best interest at heart, and they've been trained, they've been educated, their eyes are wide open to the repercussions, the manifestations, the long-reaching arms of things like this. How many years now have we been seeing movies about just this? The Outbreak movie, and I can't remember the names of all of them, but you know what I'm talking about, where they, yes. We talked about one the other day where they were going to blow up the whole town because they didn't know what else to do. So This is not new stuff, honey. This is stuff that's been around since the very beginning. The years of the Black Plague, the years when smallpox would wipe out families, measles, German measles were deadly, whooping cough, tuberculosis, which is still an issue today, tuberculosis.
Well, when I got Lyme, my friend at the time panicked because her brother had died from Lyme's disease. Now, Lyme's disease today is still, it can be fatal if you have other things going on, but Lyme's disease basically today just emaciates the immune system, damages the joints and stuff. But I don't think people panic that it's fatal. But when it was first being diagnosed, Lyme's disease was so invasive that people were dying from it. So my friend, when she found out, and, you know, like I said, this was like over 20 years ago, she completely panicked, thinking that would be the route I would go. And she was trying not to panic in front of me, but I could see it anyway. You know, I mean, she was really, really upset. And I didn't feel like I was dying. I felt like if I didn't do something, I would. And the doctors were telling me they didn't have any hope for me at the time. But today, Lyme's disease isn't looked at as a fatal illness anymore. But 30, 40 years ago, when it was first being diagnosed, it was.
Well, that's true of all of the things I just mentioned. That's what
exactly.
I'm saying. That's
right.
What makes you feel like, you know, so what the hell? If we know all that, most of this is caused by people's thinking that they're untouchable. People thinking that, the doctor from, I don't know why I can't remember her name all the time, Nancy Snyderman, remember the one I talked about that's from the Today Show? And, Nancy Snyderman. She is a doctor. And they use her on the Today Show all the time for input. People call in questions. And she appears, for all intents and purposes, to be very articulate, very bright, knows what's going on, and people trust her. And look what she did. She comes back from Africa and decides that she wants to have carry out. So they transport her in a vehicle to a restaurant where she doesn't go in or anything, but somebody brings food out to them. I mean, what the hell was she thinking, Shell?
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that floors you, because you want to believe, and there
Do you
are
think
leadership.
That worldly would have been a little bit more on their game.
Yeah. Well, and you... We take our behavior follows their leadership, just like kids. You know, we're watching them, and well, if she knows what the hell's going on, so if she thinks that's all right to do, then they're making this into more than it is. Right? Isn't that the assumption that you want to make?
Yep.
And how many people did because she did that?
Exactly. And the whole thing is that, you know, we've seen over and over and over again that people in authority aren't always, sometimes they are. We do have good people in authority figures that are good mentors. But just because somebody's in a position of authority, just because they're in a position of education, like a doctor, you know, highly educated, doesn't mean that they have the best way of handling something, or even a correct way of handling something. If I had followed what the doctors told me to do, you know, way back when, I wouldn't be on the show today, because I was declining, and I was declining faster than the doctors could keep up with me. So there is something to be said for self-education and for taking the reins and to be responsible for your own self. I think the biggest thing, and I've said this on the show before, and it kind of goes along with this Ebola breakout, is your attitude towards what's happening to you is paramount. And we talk about that all the time on the show. So with all this talk about Ebola, is it serious? Absolutely. We have to take it seriously. We have to take just common sense, personal hygiene precautions, you know, whether we're out buying food or whether we're traveling or whatever. There are certain things that are more or less common sense today with that. But you also, there's another side of the coin there. You can't go into panic either. There has to be a sense of, okay, I'm aware of this, which is important, but I'm going to do all the right things. I'm going to start eating better today. I'm going to start drinking water. I'm going to start thinking better. And I'm going to get my immune system in a place where even if I get it, I'll be able to fight it. And that's probably the best way to be, because if you go into panic mode, that can cripple you. If you go into panic mode, that's definitely not good for the immune system. Emotions like fear and anger absolutely diminish the strength of our immune system. So, you know, so that's not helpful either, going into panic mode. The bottom line is we have millions and millions of people in the U.S. We've heard of one or two cases of Ebola. Could it become an outbreak? Yeah. All right. But that's up to each individual. Even in the places where it is an outbreak, not every single person is getting it. So let's think about that. There are reasons why some people get it and some people don't. Does everybody that get it die? No. There are survivors of Ebola. So that's something it's important to recognize also. So the best thing you can do for yourself is, number one, not panic. Just be aware. Make better choices for you and your family. And do things starting today to be more proactive about how you increasing your own immunity. And if you're somebody that already has an immune deficiency, say you already have cancer or something like that, you know, then just stay with the protocols that you're doing to keep your immune system in the strongest situation it can be. And if you already are challenged, you need to be a little bit more careful than the rest of us as far as what you're exposing yourself to when you go out. But again, there's still no need for panic or fear. Just be self-aware and self-responsible.
Well, and that's what I want everybody to concentrate on today. I want everybody to remember that now that you're aware, like Shelley just said, now that you get the fact that this isn't foolishness, this is for real. There is a disease that's here in the United States of America, where we have public transportation, where we have big gathering centers for people that are in closed buildings, airplanes, cruise ships, all those kind of things. So what are you going to do? You're going to start paying attention to what you're doing. You're going to take from all of this information and utilize it to keep yourself in a good place. And you should be doing that anyway. You should be doing that every day anyway. But most of us put ourselves, very often us adults, put everything that has to do with us personally on the back burner. And often that's a big mistake. Often you need to... one of my favorite things that a doctor friend of mine and I were talking, and he said, I'm trying to make everybody understand that they have to take care of themselves. And I said, you know what I always think of when somebody says that to me? And he said, what? I said, I think of when you're on an airplane and the stewardess is standing up there, or the steward, whichever it is, and they say to you, if something happens and this light goes on, here's where all of the apparatus is to protect you. Please put the mask on, the vest on yourself before you put it on anyone else. Now, how that's such a little thing, and most moms wouldn't do that, Shell. Most moms would snatch up their children and start putting them on them. If you got three kids on the airplane with them, you're a goner.
Right, right.
The most important thing is that statement. Please put the mask on yourself first. And that's what I'm going to say to everybody today. Before you start worrying about the world at large, the family at large, your spouse, your best friend, you have to make sure that you're in a good place. Otherwise, what good will you be to them?
Exactly, exactly. And that is probably I use that example all the time myself because it is such a perfect example, and it demonstrates to people with a real live visual that's the case. If you're not responsible for yourself, then how are you going to be able to help other people? If you've passed out because of lack of oxygen, if you've become ill because you didn't take the right steps to protect yourself, then you can't help anybody else in a crisis. So it's not selfish to look out for yourself. It's responsible. And people, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, I have to look out for everybody else first. No, that is irresponsible because you're not going to be able to look out for anybody else if you've succumbed to whatever the present danger is. You know, lack of oxygen on an airplane, that's the present danger. You put the mask on yourself first and you get yourself in a place where you can actually help other people. But if you're helping other people and you allow yourself to expire, then that's irresponsible because now your children are in jeopardy of not having their mother anymore. You can't help anybody else. So people need to shift their thinking with that. It's not brave to take care of other people without making sure you're okay first. Because if you make sure you're okay first, you can help more people. And then you can be around for the beginning and then middle of the crisis and make sure that you can participate and continue helping people. So when you look at it in that way, it's responsible, not selfish. And that's where people really have to shift their mindset about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the biggest point, what you just said. It's not about only worrying about yourself. It's not about being selfish, like Shelley just said. It's about being smart, because you won't be. Excuse me. You won't be any good to anybody. Thank you. If you're not in a place to help protect them by taking care of yourself first, it's kind of like you can't, you know, I've said this a million times, and I always think of it when I'm talking about getting where you want to be. You can't get to the top of the stairs without, you know, starting at the bottom. You have to climb the stairs to get to the top. You might be one of those long-legged gazelle kind of people who can skip two or three, but you still got to climb up them. And that's what a scenario like this is about. This is about sifting through all the things we're saying, sifting through the things we see on television, sifting through the things we see on the social media, on our internet, on our phones. There's always something that gets smeared all over the front of the screen on whatever you're looking at, your iPad, your iPhone, your computer, whatever it is, that's scary. They do that to get your attention. They do that to tell the most exciting story. Take it with a grain of salt. See how it can benefit you to have that information. That's the best advice that I can ever give to anybody when they start hearing all this kind of news. It's like when a hurricane's coming, right?
Yep.
Some people go into panic mode and, do all kinds of things and forget something important for themselves. I had a girlfriend up north who, unusual for there to be a lot of hurricanes, but tornadoes and bad electrical storms and snowstorms, of course, being snowed in is a big thing in upstate New York.
Yep.
And she's got 6 cases of water. She's got canned goods enough to feed a small school. She's got all this stuff. I get a phone call. She lives way up in one of the hills in Binghamton. I get a call. She's crying. I said, what's the matter? And she said, I did all this stuff. Now they're telling us we can't travel. I forgot to get my diabetes medicine.
Oh, wow.
I said, how could you forget that? How could you forget your diabetes medicine? She had to take insulin, I don't know, like twice a day, 3 times a day, something like that. And I said, honey, how... you have all that stuff, because she had called me 3 days before and told me all the stuff she accomplished. She was so happy with herself, and she forgot her insulin.
Yes.
Why? Because she was really thinking about the rest of the family, which is fine and worthy and what most of us women would do. But, you know, her insulin, I mean, how important. Thank God we knew somebody with a snowmobile. And I got insulin to her. Otherwise, I'm not really sure what would have happened that year.
That's right.
So, you know, it is about those, start from the beginning. The beginning is you. And then branch yourself out. And then give yourself to other people. But start from the beginning. And
yep.
Utilizing all the information that's been handed out this week by everyone, you need to sort through, reevaluate it, and see how it pertains to you personally, and then work from there. Safeguard
mm-hmm.
yourself, and then branch out and do the things that you know how to do. And I have to preach that particular sermon to Rini all the time. But it is important. And it doesn't mean that you're self-centered. It doesn't mean you only care about yourself. It means that you're doing it the way you should be doing it. It means that you're taking responsibility. At the end of the day, the one you're the most responsible for is yourself. So,
right.
Now, in regard to the other things too that we talked about this week, the bullying at the ball team. Now that's turned into something that is very criminal in nature. And I want to say something to all the young people out there. Now, my own granddaughter has said things to me that made me realize that they see an awful lot that they don't tell anybody, that they don't talk about to anybody, that they don't share with anybody. And some of it is okay. But the truth of the matter is, if you are seeing different things that you wouldn't want done to you or you wouldn't want to be any part of, then when we talk about bullying on the bully show, we talk about not being tattletales. I tell the story of my mother giving Barbara a nickel if I tattled on her. That's about little stuff. That's about petty stuff. If you see something that you know can hurt somebody or can damage somebody's physical health or anything like that, you have to tell somebody. The kids that ignored what was going, apparently there was an actual rape or something that took place. They're still not giving out a whole lot of news because a lot of these people are minors.
Right.
So they have to, you know, they have to be careful about what they share on the media. But the positive thing that you can take from that is that you need to know that some things have to be shared with somebody, and that would be one of them. The fact
and
that
I think that's
somebody,
the school administrator, that was one of the comments he made, that they're setting a precedence with this school that they hope will influence the rest of the schools in New Jersey and in the rest of the country, is that, well, first of all, this type of criminal behavior is not going to be tolerated. These kids felt, like kids do, that they were untouchable. You know, they're football stars, they're powerful, and they got carried away with their own sense of importance that they could do whatever they wanted to do. That has to be nipped in the bud, otherwise they're going to grow up into narcissistic criminal adults if it's not
mm-hmm.
nipped in the bud. And I think they made it such a harsh thing because they need everybody else involved to see that there are consequences when you make choices to exploit other human beings for your own pleasure in a criminal way. So I think
mm-hmm.
that message came out loud and clear by how severely they responded by canceling the whole football season, which impacted a lot of the innocent kids too, but I don't think they were left with a choice because of the severity of what had happened. But the other thing is that it also sends out a real message to the kids that saw what was happening and chose to kind of like not get involved, not say anything,
keep
go
quiet.
Along with it.
Yeah.
You know, some of them went along with it because they just went along with it. Some of them probably were afraid to talk out, and some of them didn't want to get involved. And, you know, like you always hear kids say, oh, I don't want to be a snitch. And the whole thing is that if you see kids doing things that are not right and you recognize it's not right, well, guess what? You know, and it's hard to tell a kid this, but sometimes if you could, because I had this conversation with a young person recently, and they did get it. You know, if you don't do something now to help that classmate of yours, whether they're a friend of yours or not, but if you see them doing things that are cruel and could potentially become criminal or already are criminal, if you don't nip that in the bud now, get them some help. You're not trying to get in trouble. You're trying to get them some help so that they don't grow up into an adult that goes even worse. If they're already doing that as a young person, what are they going to develop into? Every time a kid gets away with something, they have to take it up a notch. They have to take it up a notch. And if they're already doing something that bad now, what are they going to become when they're an adult? How are they going to take that particular criminal act or cruel act and keep adding to it to make it more and more exciting for them? So you're actually doing them a favor by nipping it in the bud now and getting them some help, providing, you know, obviously that the schools have the proper reaction, then they get the kid help and not vilify them. And that's one of the issues we have with the schools. Some of the schools have very good protocols in dealing with this, and some of the schools don't yet. But the bottom line is each student should have the courage, or should be taught to have the courage, to speak up for a victim and not stand by and just watch terrible things happening to their schoolmates, because that's what happens in the real world when they get out on the job place or they're walking through a parking lot. You know, You have to have the sense about you that if you see something happening, you pick up a phone and call 911, not you keep walking to your car because you don't want to get involved, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder, I don't know if this exists now. I'm going to talk to some of the kids this weekend about this, but I wonder if there is a anonymous way for kids to report things anymore. I know years ago they tried that a little bit and it turned into a three-ring circus because then kids would say things that were unfounded because, you know, kind of like what happens on Facebook today. People, you know, say things that is, you know, pulled out of the air someplace and don't have any real foundation to them and everything. So, but I wonder if there is any way for a kid to know something is going on and to be a little bit afraid and not know, you know, what to say or who to say it to or what is going to befall them if they do. I wonder if there's an anonymous way that they can do stuff like that now. I'll have to ask some of my teenagers.
I mean, I'm sure there's an anonymous way of just putting, like, a note in a teacher's mailbox or something. But an actual organized method, yeah, I'm not sure about that either.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that might be maybe difficult to sort through for the powers that be. But I feel like they could maybe get some worth from something like that. I mean, do you think it would turn into a bigger headache than a help, or do you think it would be something that with the right teachers and the right adults that could serve a purpose?
Well, I think if it was structured properly that it could serve a purpose. My concern with that would be hoaxes and pranks, kids that didn't take it seriously and, you know, reported nonsense, or kids going, you know, because, like you said, because now they're faceless, you know, kids putting claims out there that, you know, that just to get another kid in trouble, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could see it having that potential, but I also think that, you know, Yeah, I don't. Well, I guess because of the kid. I mean, how would they report something anonymously though? I mean, they would.
Well,
have
maybe
to go
in a Dropbox, or maybe you know, I don't know. I'm just thinking that, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, I've always believed that old adage, and I still do. I think that if you hear something from somebody and it may not be the total truth, there's something going on and you need to check it out. So it would have to be managed by the appropriate staff. It would have to be adults that are really on top of their game and really can sift through the baloney. So to speak. But I do, you know, that's like when I remember being in the middle of something many, many years ago about a parental sexual abuse issue. And it ended up being a story that was made up because there was still an issue. And I remember thinking to myself then, when a kid starts acting out and telling you all kinds of stuff that you know are really not true because they're so outlandish or because they're so far off the wall, or you just realize because of the situation it would be impossible to have something like that take place, where there's smoke, there's fire. So yep. If a kid finds the necessity to make up some outlandish story or scenario or something, something's going on someplace. I mean, don't you think that that's true? I mean, if you've got a kid that's so confused that they're going to make up a big story and tell somebody something, don't you think that almost always that means that something's going on someplace, something isn't the way it should be?
Yes, yes. And, you know, maybe they're accusing the wrong person because maybe they don't feel they can accuse the person that's actually doing something to them. But if the details are there and it turns out to be untrue with the person they accused, a lot of times it just means it's somebody else that's hurting them. And, we've seen cases like that where something
mm-hmm.
was happening to the kid, but for whatever reason, they felt afraid to accuse the actual person, so they accused somebody they didn't think would hurt them for being accused without realizing what they were going to do to them.
Right, right. So, so in other words, if they set up an anonymous way for kids to say, you know, I saw this happen in the bathroom, I don't know the kid's name, but this happened, and then leave the investigation up to the powers that be. If somebody made it up because they were mad at somebody, that should be able to be found out fairly quickly. If, you know, but it usually means that somebody needs some help somewhere along the line. I really feel like that would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to ask the kids this weekend if there is any opportunity like that for a kid to say, you know, or a kid to be able to write a note or drop it in a box and be anonymous.
Right.
And there would probably need to be a little bit of training done with the educators. That brings me to the story that I wasn't really going to talk about today, but I'm going to lay some groundwork. I wanted to keep today more positive and try to give some support to people who are a little bit overwhelmed with all the news that's out there and on top of their own issues that are in their own lives. But the story that I shared yesterday about the administrators at a middle school who set up a young girl, a special education child, for a sting operation to catch some boys who were attacking or molesting young girls in a middle school. And they actually did, you know, told the girl where to be and what to do, and the boys did show up, and the sting worked, but there was nobody to protect her. And when we talk about things like anonymous information and the kind of leadership quality that there is in a lot of our schools, I want to believe that in every three people, there's one person who really is paying attention to what's going on. I kind of keep that ratio in my head all the time and think to myself, everybody isn't. We know that. We see that in our faces every day. But
yep.
One out of about every three adults is trying to do what they think is right and trying to make sure that the children in their lives, whether they're theirs or someone else's, stay safe. Anybody you talk to, if you and I stood out on the street one day, say we went to City Place and ask everybody, you know, how do you feel about what's going on with kids? Are you worried about your kids' safety? Are you worried? Everybody would say, yes, I want my kids to be safe. I believe that. I believe that the first answer would always be positive, and people say that they want our kids to be safe, and they're upset about the behavior of some of the kids and some of the adults. I think we all go in the right direction. Now, whether or not they follow through on it is another story, but I do believe that at the end of the day, most of us want what's right for kids. But then you hear a story like this, and, I mean, you try to imagine, well, what were they thinking? How did they forget that they put something like this into motion? How did they forget?
Yeah, that's what I can't wrap my brain around. Something that dangerous. I can't. Is there any more news on that?
Well, I read several stories about it, and there isn't anything that's positive. I haven't seen anything yet about the repercussions from it. I'm sure I will really research this weekend and see what else I can find out for Monday's show. But the other sad part about that is this is liable to disappear right off the internet, and we don't hear too much more about it unless somebody else gets involved.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's already, it should be front and center. I want to say that it was in Midwestern states. I'm not positive. I remember reading it, but I don't remember. I don't really remember what I read. I copied it and put it in my documents so that I can go back and read the first story, and then and then do some follow up with some other stories. But we will talk about it on Monday and see what we can figure out. But it's not shocking, though, Shell. You know, grown-ups make mistakes in their own lives all the time, you know.
But it is shocking. Yeah, for somebody to make a mistake, another adult, but when you talk about taking somebody else and setting them up to, first thing, operation, to be in harm's way, and then you forget your part of the whole thing, that's shocking on any level. That's shocking if you do that to an adult. It's worse if you do it to a child, and a special education child on top of it. I mean, the story is just one of the worst I've heard of personal irresponsibility.
I know. But like I say, when we're talking about trying to make things better, you're talking about better training, better choices for the people that are in charge. Who's gonna handle this? Who's gonna be the one that talks to the kids? Who's the one that's gonna, you know? There's a lot of apron strings on any kind of a follow through with kids. Once you open up a door, like like an anonymous report. So maybe that's why they don't really do anything like that. But I don't know that they don't, so I shouldn't say that. I don't know that they don't do some kind of a place where kids can say, you know, this is going on, but I don't want anybody to know I'm the one that told you. So it's possible that they do. I will talk to the kids this weekend and see what they say. But at the end of the day, for this week, because of all the Ebola stuff, because of all the things that we talked about, this should be an opportunity for you folks out there to concentrate on keeping yourself safe, on your personal hygiene, on your safety issues. Don't be the man with the clipboard running up to everybody in hazmat suits. You know, where the hell is your head? So, not only are you putting yourself in jeopardy, you're putting everybody that comes close to you in jeopardy. Maybe that's where you need to go when you think about doing something like that, is that you're not the martyr. You are the catalyst that can take out your whole family if you do stupid things like that. So I want everybody to concentrate on taking care of themselves. Like Shelley just said, build up your immune system. Be concentrating on how to keep yourself in a healthier place. We talk about that all the time anyway. We're all guilty of doing things that aren't good for us. It's human nature. And somebody who says, I told the story about somebody telling me that they don't have any dependencies or any addictions, and I was like, you don't really know yourself very well, because I promise you, you have some addictions. They may not be cocaine or heroin. They may not be, you know, a bottle of rum every day. They may not be you've lost the whole farm at a gambling casino, but you have some addictions and you have some flaws, because we're all human. But I think that recognizing the things that we have going on is the name of the game. And you can only get to a better place if you're aware of what's wrong. So now that we have all this information about Ebola, and we know that it it may very well become an issue in the United States. You have to start taking the precautions now. What do you think is the most important thing, Shel, for everybody to really concentrate on in an effort to keep themselves safer? What do you think is the most important issue?
Well, for me, because of my own personal journey, would be to clean up the diet. Our diet today has more to do with diminishing our immunity, acidifying the body, and all disease and diminished immune system comes from acidity. Foods that are acidic are processed foods, packaged foods, sodas, one of the most hazardously acidic, smoking, drinking, things like that. So if you have habits that you know are diminishing you, you know, it's difficult to quit smoking. If you're a smoker, try to cut it in half. Smoke every other thing. You know, anytime you make a good choice, you're bettering your situation. If you don't smoke, great, you're a step up there. If you drink, try to drink less, you know, just have that one social drink at the end of the night before you go to bed. But if you're a heavy drinker, try to drink less, because alcohol absolutely diminishes the immune system. It's kind of like common sense stuff, you know. And read books on health. Read books, you know, or watch a video or something. Go on the internet and Google it and research. There's so much information there of people that have healed themselves from all kinds of illnesses through diet. Go and read those diets, you know. But it's the easiest way to know how to make better food choices is to go as close to nature as possible. Move away from packaged products, you know, prepackaged products that have all kinds of preservatives. And if you're reading a paragraph of ingredients and half of the ingredients you don't recognize as food, that's not going to be something that's going to boost your immune system. When you buy organic products, or you buy products that you look at the ingredient panel and it's got eight ingredients and they're all food, it's a much better choice. You know, I bought hummus the other day. I get it all the time at Whole Foods, and it's got like five or six ingredients and they're all food. You know, there's nothing in there that I don't recognize. And I went to buy it the other day at a different grocery store thinking it's hummus. You know, it's made from chickpeas, for God's sake, you know. And I picked it up, and there was a paragraph for the ingredients. And more than half the ingredients were these long chemical names. I was like, oh, my God, what in the heck is that doing in hummus, for God's sake? You know, so I'm a label reader, you know, when I go to something new. So that would be my advice, just because I saw how much diet affected my immune system and how it was making me decline. And when I cleaned it up, I regained my own health. So I really have a lot of push towards advising people to clean their diets up. Soda, very, very bad for the immune system. Milk and dairy products are very bad for our lungs, as far as it creates mucus in the body. So, you know, look towards things like almond milk or soy milk or things like that. And just educate yourself onto what the better choices are. But going closer to nature is always the best choice. Fruits and vegetables, you know, that aren't packaged with all kinds of preservatives in them. You know, get away from the prepackaged convenience foods. I mean, they're convenient. That's why they're called that. But they're also empty calories. They're not helping your health in any way.
Well, and Shelley's talking about food, and I'm going to talk a little bit again about hygiene. And, again, I've counseled so many people in my lifetime about personal hygiene, and I'm always blown away by the fact that there's a lot of people out there that don't think it's necessary to, you know, take a shower every day, and that just amazes the hell out of me. But there are people who grew up or were in a family where that wasn't a part of the protocol. So that needs to change. You need to keep yourself, your body clean, and you need to bathe on a regular basis. You need to wash your hands frequently. You shouldn't, if you are eating a lot of meat and chicken and things like that in your home, the other thing I want to say to you is cross-contamination is a big deal. is really a big deal. And if you ever do a food class, to like if you work in a restaurant today, most of you have to pass an exam having to do with handling food. Now, they will tell you in all those classes that cross-contamination, say you are eating what you think is a very healthy diet. You're buying farm-raised chicken. You're buying fresh fruits and vegetables, and you're preparing it in your kitchen. If you use the same knife to cut the cantaloupe as you cut the chicken with, you are hurting yourself. A simple
Absolutely.
Little thing like that.
Yeah.
A simple little thing like that. So figure out what you're doing, especially if you care enough to do those kind of things and prepare a healthy meal. Cutting board. If you have a cutting board in your kitchen and you just rinse it off with water and you cut up your chicken and you're going to prepare that, and then you take that same knife and you wipe it off with a towel or you run it under some warm water and you start again, and now you're going to cut up a salad to have with your chicken, and you use the same knife, you're making a big mistake. Those little things mean a lot in the world of cross-contamination. And also, leaving, I have a lot of friends who say to me, should I be taking, if I buy meat and everything, I go to Whole Foods, I buy the best meat, they wrap it for me while I'm there, should I leave it in that wrapping? And I say, what do you think? What are you comfortable with doing? Are you comfortable with leaving it in a wrapping? Did the person who prepared that for you have gloves on? I didn't pay any attention. Oh, well, personally, I would say to you that if you're concerned about that and if your immune system is already in a little bit of trouble, then I would change the wrapping that that is in, and I would make sure that I washed everything again, and I would keep gloves on my own fingers while I did that. If you have those issues. Now, to tell somebody that they got to do that in their kitchen every day, people are rolling their eyes at me right now. Oh, my God, I will never do all of that stuff. Well, if you're ever going to do it, this is the time to do it. When we're worried about what is being spread around out there, this is the time to be worried about stuff like that. And there's no reason to make a big deal of it. Just be smart and think about what you're doing.
Yep.
When I first took that class, was probably 15 years ago, and I had been working in the food industry, cooking ever since I'm 17 years old and doing stuff like that. And one of the questions on the test was, how do you prepare a sauce, like an Italian sauce, a spaghetti sauce, a pasta sauce or something? How do you keep it safe in your restaurant? And I said, you know, you keep it covered, let it cool, and then refrigerate it. And I failed that. And I said, what do you mean? And they said, well, you should take it straight from the hot stove and put it directly in the refrigerator or the freezer. I said, really? And they said, yeah, because once it starts to cool off is when it picks up the bacteria. So if you let it cool in your kitchen, you're letting it pick up the bacteria. I never knew that. So there's a lot of different things that you can do that will make yourself safer. In the years at Hippocrates, the health department would come there and check our kitchen, and because we didn't cross-contaminate with things like meat and fruit or meat and vegetables or anything like that, they were easier on us. But what do you think one of the biggest things was that they said to Michelle in the kitchen at Hippocrates with preparing the vegetables and all that kind of stuff? What do you think it would have been? Any idea off the top of your head? That's pretty open forum.
No, I can't think of what an issue would have been.
Well, the biggest issue is the fact that we used cantaloupes, pineapples, watermelon, that kind of stuff. And the outside skin of those things, when you slice through them, go into the meat of the fruit. So you have to scrub the outside of a cantaloupe, a honeydew, any kind of a melon, any kind of a pineapple needs to be scrubbed before you slice into it. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
I figured
it was, you know,
so especially because I never remember washing a melon my whole life. You know, I never would have thought of that. So little things make a difference like that. So, but I also feel like some of these things can drive you a little bit crazy. So common sense often is the best way to go. Common sense.
And don't put yourself in an all or nothing mode, like, oh, this is too overwhelming, so I'm not going to do anything. Every time, that's why I said earlier, every time you make one good choice, you are putting yourself in a better position. And then from there, make a second good choice. And then from there, make a third good choice. It doesn't mean you have to do it all at once. It can be a process. But start today. Choose one thing that you're going to do better than you've been doing. If you're a smoker, cut down. If you drink a lot of soda, try drinking water and juice instead. Make one good choice today to eliminate something that's not so good for you and trade it off for something that's better. And then once that becomes more comfortable and part of your lifestyle, then look for a second thing, look for a third thing. That's why I said it took me 2.5 years to be where I am now, which is second nature to me, but it was 2.5 years of trial and error. I didn't do everything all at once. It was a journey for me. And every time I came comfortable with a particular change I made, then I looked to go a little deeper, and then I looked to go a little deeper, and I made another change, and I made another change. But because I did it across a 2.5 year period of time, it became habitual for me because it became part of my routine, and then I did one thing on top of that. So, people get overwhelmed that they think they have to make 30 changes overnight. They're not going to do it, and then they don't even get off point A, you know. So,
right. That's true.
Just start today making one new choice and being comfortable with that and understand it's going to be a journey. Every day try to do one thing that's better for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like I said, don't let yourself get all, bent out of shape because of everything that's going on in the world. It can be a little bit overwhelming, but you do have to put yourself first. You do have to figure out what works for you. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Keep yourself in a place that is safe, which doesn't mean you lock the front door and never go out anymore. It just means that you make better choices. And I think that if you do that, if we do that as a group, then we will be able to overcome this latest challenge. And, it's happened before in our history on several different occasions when things have gotten out of hand, and we as a people have overcome it. So I don't want everybody to be scared. I don't want everybody to be worried. The media is going a little bit overboard and is a little bit scary, but I think that we will still be okay. But make good choices, make smart choices, make the kind of choices that keep you in a good place. So so we're about done today. I want to wish everybody a great weekend, and I want to mention that we will talk about the story that I mentioned about the administrators who set up the young girl as a part of a sting. And I haven't talked to Shelley all week about her research on the story about the zoo animals. Are you going to be ready to talk about that with us next week, Shel?
Oh, yeah. I'll be able to talk next week. I had done some research on the autopilot, and I did find that there are some active resorts. I think one's been using it for like 15 years, and they give rave reviews. They say that it's very easy to keep clean and stuff like that, so we can talk about that one day also.
Where is that? What state is that in?
Well, one was in Naples, Florida. One was in, I wrote them down. One was in Naples, Florida. One was in Lake Ranch, Holland, Michigan. And the other one was in Pulaski City in Virginia. There were three different ones up on the testimonial page. And these are professionals. These are resort pools. I mean, they're huge. absolutely huge, and they're talking about the fact that it's easier to keep clean than their old conventional system. So maybe the newer systems have enhanced cleaning, or maybe they have new filtration systems to go hand in hand. I have to go in and read the larger story on each one of these. But these are three active resorts. So you're talking Virginia.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of active resorts. I just question the validity of it, because I've just been so close to so many people who have tried to do it, and they still have issues. So I'm really interested in hearing what you found out. And you could have hit right on the biggest point, which is a new filtration system. I can see that making a big difference. You know, how everything is circulated and all that kind of stuff. I can see that making a big difference. So we are out of time, though. I want to thank you all. Everybody go out and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. God bless, and we'll be back Monday. Thanks, Shell.
Thanks, Reen. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Bye-bye.